Welcome to the Laura Mayer Podcast, a podcast all about learning how to walk in the mental, emotional, and relational freedom that Jesus provided for you. You know, you guys, in this podcast, it is always my prayer that every week that you walk away with more freedom and more truth. I pray that truth enters your heart like a key that just unlocks you. That chains fall off, the light bulbs come on in your thinking, your mind is renewed, and that you take another step of freedom. You know, something I've learned in my own life is that freedom is not a destination. Freedom is a place that we already belong in simply because of our position in Christ. That Jesus died so that we could be free. And so we start at that place of freedom. We start knowing that's our identity, that's our inheritance, that's who we are, that's where we belong. And then as we are renewing our mind and learning more and more what that looks like, it gets to operate in our lives. So that's my prayer, is that every week you walk away with more freedom, you walk away with more truth, that you take just one more step, and every step gets you closer and closer to walking in the fullness of what God has for you, has to do in you, has to do through you. And so that's just my prayer, and that's what I love to do and love to teach. So today we're going to tackle a topic that I thought was just going to be one episode. Nope. I'm studying this out, you guys, and I think we've got 3 episodes coming. And I think it's necessary. I think it's important. Today I'm going to talk about forgiveness. But before I go a step further, I'm going to tell you what to expect and what not to expect in these next 3 episodes. I'm going to go ahead and just assume that some of the people listening have had the topic of forgiveness used as a weapon against them. This topic of forgiveness has been used to keep you in places of bondage, not set you free. Actually, forgiveness may have even been taught to you as a way of letting the wrongdoers go free. Letting those who caused harm and havoc, and those whose hearts were not pure, who were not right, who were not in the best interest of others, that they were the ones that got to walk free, and that you were somehow supposed to let them off the hook and somehow deal with the damage done on your own. That is not biblical forgiveness, okay? This is something that I have really worked out in my own life. This is not just theory I'm going to be teaching, because I'm a little church girl. I was raised in the pew, and I have sat under teaching where this topic was taught either from a place of ignorance, because the person meant well, but had not taken the time to study these passages out in a deeper way to get the true counsel of the Word of God, which what I believe is the true counsel of the Word. That's what I endeavor to do. I have found that the Word of God always brings freedom, and it always brings health to all who hear it, those who have been victimized and those who were the perpetrators. The Word brings freedom to both. The Word brings healing to both. The Word brings the necessary deliverance in the different areas that both need. Both are not coming from the same wounded place, therefore they don't need healing in the same areas and the same ways. And the Word brings truth. The Word rightly divides joint and marrow, soul and spirit. And so that's what I'm going to endeavor to do. But I've sat under teaching where it was taught from places of ignorance, and that's very damaging. That kept me in some really dangerous and unhealthy places for a long time, because I thought I was doing the right thing. And then I've also sat under the teaching of forgiveness from the mouths of people who were trying to oppress, who were intentionally, I guess I can't say intentionally because I don't know their hearts, but from the fruit in their lives and other areas, they used the Word of God as a weapon to keep people under their rule, under their authority. Forgiveness was taught from a place of excusing oftentimes their bad behavior. It's amazing how they knew the scripture on forgiveness and how that applied to them, but not any of the scriptures on walking in love and loving others and kindness and patience and goodness and all those. We didn't know about those. So I just want you to know this is a safe place. This is not a place that I hope that you don't feel like scripture is ever going to be used to beat you over the head. It's going to be used to set you free because that's the heart of our Father God. So if any of you read in the title, whatever I end up titling this one about forgiveness, and went, oh, I just don't know if I want to listen to it, take a few deep breaths. I think you're going to be glad you listened. So let me give you a sneak peek of what's going to be happening this week and over the next 2 weeks, and then we'll dive into today's topic. So, like I said, I was just going to do a single episode. It was simply going to be on forgiveness and helping you understand what that is. And then as I was writing, I realized I can't only teach what forgiveness is if I don't also teach what it isn't, because I know the people that listen here, are people who maybe have lived life in the trenches in some places and in some times. And so sometimes it's just as healthy to know what it isn't so that you can know what it is. And so I was in scripture and I was digging those things out and studying those things out. And then I thought, well, I think I'm going to teach what it isn't first. Let's go and get that out of the way so that as you are listening, your heart can be at rest and be open next week when I talk about what it is. Because if you've got your guard up, if the whole time I'm teaching what forgiveness is, you still are holding on to some false ideas of maybe what I would say it isn't, but maybe you still think it is, you're going to listen to my teaching on what forgiveness is through those wounded filters, and your heart's going to be on guard and you're going to have a wall up, or you're going to hear it on the other side of the ditch and hear it that I'm teaching to be a doormat, and that is not what it is either. So I want to get out of the way what forgiveness isn't first, not get out of the way, teach and explain, and that's going to be our foundation. And the next week, I'm going to teach what forgiveness is. You are going to love next week. This changed my life when the Holy Spirit showed me this in this way. It's amazing how just seeing it from a different angle, seeing forgiveness from a place of power, seeing forgiveness from a place of covenant, knowing that my source is in Jesus. Wow. It'll set you free. And then week number three, I am going to talk about how forgiveness gets twisted. And I'm going to go to three specific scriptures that are often misused to keep people in bondage. Yep, we're going to talk about turning the other cheek. We're going to talk about if someone asks for your shirt, give them your coat. We're going to talk about the passage where if you're asked to walk a mile, go two. We're going to talk about those because those are very commonly mistaught when it comes to this topic of forgiveness. And I want to rightly divide the word. I want to look at the whole of Scripture and make sure that we are understanding it and that it's consistent with the heart of God and not just a few scriptures picked out, pulled out of context, and tried to be shoved in a scenario, and blanket statements are created, and it just, nobody gets to walk in any freedom that way. Okay, so I hope you're excited. Let's do this. Okay, let me flip to the correct pages of my notes. I've just scribbled all over the place because I just kept thinking of things, and the Lord kept showing me things. So, first of all, what forgiveness isn't? I say first of all, but really it's one main thing that it isn't that we are going to be discussing on this episode. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciling. You're going to hear three words over and over and over the next 3 weeks. And it's three separate concepts that are often all bunched together and called forgiveness. It's like we don't have words for all to separate the three out, so we just shove them all together, call them all forgiveness, teach them all as forgiveness, and then we find ourselves caught in some really wonky, weird places in life, and the only word we have to use is forgiveness, so we think that's what we're supposed to do, and it's three separate scenarios. So there's three separate approaches. And the three words you're going to be hearing a lot are forgiveness, reconciliation, and resistance. Okay, hope I've piqued your interest. So today, what we're going to talk about is forgiveness is not the same as reconciling. Forgiveness means the forgiving of a debt. We're going to talk about this more in depth next week. But it's when harm has been done to you. And there is a debt that someone else owes. There's an injustice that's been brought against your life. There's harm that they've done. There's something that has been taken from you. You've experienced loss or grief in some way at the hands or actions of another person, the words of another person. And goodness, we could go through, it would take forever to go through all the scenarios of all the ways that people can harm you. But the end result is there is loss of some sort on your end. And there's an account that you kind of keep in your head or in your heart of knowing what other people have done. And I don't know that is in and of itself on the surface a bad thing to be aware of danger. You know, if you've ever been bitten by, I don't know, I'm thinking a spider or a snake or I don't know, one of those things, or you're going to have a respect for that and a drawing away if you were to see a snake again, because there's a remembrance of the pain that thing caused. So in and of itself, that's not a bad thing that we remember unsafe or scenarios or times or people in our lives that caused pain. Okay. So that's not the same though as holding a grudge. Now let's move it from like an animal to, because animal doesn't have the intention that a human would have. They operate mostly out of instinct, and gosh, humans a lot of times do too, especially if there's a lot of unhealed trauma and, pain going on in their lives, even those that they're not aware of, they still operate a lot just out of instinct, and it's protection instinct on their own, and we all do it to a degree. But to forgive is to wipe the debt clean. So forgiveness has to do with the past, whether or not you're keeping a record of the past. Reconciliation is a whole different animal. It's a whole different thing. Reconciliation is talking about the future. Okay? So you can forgive and wipe a debt clean and choose to not reconcile. Because just because the forgiveness is something that you have sole control over. You are the only one who can choose to forgive someone. And we're instructed to. Scripture instructs us to always forgive. We see this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, when Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me and I'm supposed to forgive him and just let it go? As many as seven times?" You know, and I've heard it said that maybe Peter had somebody in mind who had wronged him seven times. And maybe he's really hoping Jesus is like, you know, that's probably enough, Peter. Or, and I haven't studied this out, but 7 is a very significant number in Scripture, and so maybe it has something to do with that. I'd have to dig that out a little bit more. Nonetheless, Peter is asking Jesus, how many times do I forgive someone? And Jesus replies to him, 70 times 7. This is to imply that there is an unlimited amount of times that we are called to forgive others. Forgiveness is always required. It's not literal. It's not 70 times 7 that it's now 490 times that you're supposed to forgive someone. And on the 491 time that you don't. Forgiveness is about you. It is not about them. It is not about the severity of what they did to you. How little or how small. It is, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, it is you releasing them from the debt. Jumping ahead because next week we're going to talk about, okay, yeah, but Laura, what do we do with the debt still? Like, I've released them from it, but now I'm in the hole. How does this get healed and fixed in me from what they did? Okay, so that's next week. But so Jesus is saying it's an unlimited amount of times. I'm calling you to a higher standard of forgiving them and letting them go. But daughter, son, I promise you, it's for your good. It's actually to keep you out of prison. It's to keep you out of torment. It's to keep you walking in peace because it unties you from what they did. You know, there's a story, and I may have shared it here on the podcast before, but in ancient times, if someone committed murder, one of the ways that they would punish the murderer is by tying the body of the dead person to the one who murdered him or her and attach the body to where they're touching. As the corpse would decompose, the rot and the stench would just be so unbearable. And so the person would be carrying around with them the weight of what they did, the literal weight, figurative weight of what they did and how they murdered this person. But also the rot would then start getting off on them, the infection, the gangrene, and eventually the murderer would die a slow and painful, horrible death as payment for what they had done. You know, I think about that a lot when I think about forgiveness and how I don't want any dead bodies attached to me. I don't want the things that they did that caused death and destruction. You know, it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. But Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. I don't want the actions of others that caused death of something in my life, that caused destruction, that caused theft of some type of or loss. I don't want those things attached to me. And so forgiveness, we think, is pardoning the other person. And it is. But really, it's also saying, I'm not going to carry the weight of what you did anymore. I'm not going to carry this dead thing. This action, this dead thing that caused pain to me, not going to carry it anymore. But reconciling is all about the future. And there are some things that have to be in place for there to be wise reconciliation. You know, Jesus never calls us to be doormats. Jesus never calls us to be submissive to abuse. And we're going to tackle this more in week 3 about the scriptures that are often twisted. And it's interesting, they're not twisted against people that are the abusive ones. They're twisted against the people who have been victims. And it further keeps them in bondage. So we have some scriptural references, though, where we see reconciliation being modeled out of when to reconcile, and then also scriptures when not to reconcile. So for me, this is scriptural proof that forgiveness and reconciliation are not a combo deal. Forgiveness is always required, but we're about to see scriptural evidence where reconciliation is not always required. Actually, reconciliation is something that is earned, and there has to be a few things in place before it can occur. Now, God loves restoration stories. He loves when hearts soften and turn towards Him. So isn't that a beautiful thing? And we're going to see some beautiful places where this occurs. But God is also a God that lets people have free will and choices. And He has put some safeguards in place to protect the innocent. And I'm going to use that word innocent not to mean someone who's never done a single thing wrong, because then we can only use that word to describe Jesus. But I'm using it to describe the person who has been wronged against. They've been wronged. They weren't the one doing the wronging. So reconciliation and forgiveness are not a combo deal. Or it would not make sense for God to say one is always required, but then show evidence in Scripture where the other is not always required. They would have to both be required if they both came together, if you couldn't separate out the two. So it is possible to forgive and not reconcile. And then it is possible to forgive and then work towards reconciliation and thrive in that place. So I want to share with you three places in Scripture where reconciliation happened. So beautiful. The first one is the story of the prodigal son, and I'm not going to go in and read it all. That would take a whole lot of time, but you can look it up, and it's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And we know this passage is describing a son who rebelled against his father and went the exact opposite of how his father had raised him. Asked for his inheritance early, went and squandered it all in lewd, lavish living and all this sin and debauchery, and then had a heart change and came back to the father. He realized that things were better in his father's house. And we see his posture of humility when he has a conversation with himself in his own mind of saying, maybe I could come back just as a servant in my father's house. He didn't come back with demands. He didn't come back putting pressure on his dad. If you really loved me, you wouldn't bring this up anymore. You know, he didn't come in with that kind of an attitude. His attitude coming in was that of repentance, which means to turn and go the opposite way. Repentance doesn't mean just say, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry you're hurt. I'm sorry what I did hurt you, Dad. And since I feel bad about it, you know, you should like let me back in and throw me a feast. But don't we see that happen sometimes in relationships? Or maybe we've been the one that have even done that, to where we felt bad about the situation. And because we felt bad, we kind of wanted just to be let off the hook about it. But we see here scripturally that there was a change of his heart posture. There was a posture of repentance, a posture of humility, and a posture of, can I come back just at this level, this low level of relational connection? I'll just be a servant. But I love the father's response in this. His response was open arms and full restoration back to where the son previously was. Now, this story is a story of the heart of God Himself toward us. That when God sees the heart, He sees the posture of our heart. And when there's repentance, He restores us back to where we were. And that's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. We see also in Scripture the story of the thief on the cross beside Jesus, and that's in Luke chapter 23. And we don't really know a whole lot about this guy, so I almost didn't even mention it, but I think he's worth mentioning. We know that he didn't personally wrong Jesus, so it's not one of those kinds of situations, but he was a thief, so he had broken the law, and Jesus was about to be crucified for his sin. For the thief's sin that's hanging right beside him, along with the sins of the rest of the world, anything that had been committed or would be committed. Wow, the weight of the sin that was on Jesus. So in a sense, the thief had wronged him. In a sense, Jesus was paying for the sins of another, the sins of this man that he was looking at. And the conversation between Jesus and the thief ends with Jesus saying that you have great faith and this day you will be with me in paradise. You will not be cut off and separated from me in spite of all that you've done. But because your hope is in me, because your heart has softened and opened to me, and I can tell that by your words, and God knows our heart, so he could tell that by the posture of the thief's heart. And he said, there's restoration and reconciliation back to God for you. We also see in Acts chapter 9, the story of Paul being welcomed by Ananias. Okay, so Paul had just had his big conversion moment on the road to Damascus, where previously his name was Saul before God changed his name to Paul. So as Saul, he was a persecutor of Christians. He was a pious religious leader that hated Jesus, hated the disciples, hated the followers of Christ. And he had taken it upon himself to rid society of them. And he even watched over the killing of Stephen when Stephen, the evangelist, was stoned to death. So this was a bad guy. And his reputation preceded him. Believers in the area would have known his name, Saul of Tarsus. And he would not have been a safe person to let into your home. Well, he had had that conversion experience on the road to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to a man named Ananias and said, hey, Paul's coming to your house. I want you to bring him in, and I want you to tell him this and welcome him. And Ananias, God was using Ananias to restore Paul and to begin to teach him. And Ananias said, whoa, Lord, wait, I know this dude, and I don't think he's a safe person. Like, I don't know that it would be safe to reconcile, to allow him in to my space. You know, we do that with people. We have to evaluate and go, are they a safe person to let back into my life? And the Lord answered and said, hey, yeah, this is safe. His heart has changed. It's okay. So in all three of these examples, there was an actual heart change that was the catalyst for the reconciliation to occur. The heart matters. Oftentimes, when we get forgiveness and reconciliation confused, we forget that the forgiveness part is on our side, but the heart change has to be on both sides. You can forgive and you can have a heart postured towards love towards them, but if they don't always or also have their heart postured towards repentance and change and putting action behind that and not just words, well, then there can't be reconciliation. Forgiveness is a one-man job. Reconciliation is a two-man job. So no matter how bad you might even want a relationship to work, if the other person is not willing to repent and change their hearts and come with humility, reconciliation is not possible. And that's not on you. And that's where scripture says, and I didn't even look it up, but you can Google it, where it says, as much as it has to do with you, live in peace with all men. There's an implication here that there's a you part and a them part. As much as it has to do with you, do your side. Do your side of the reconciliation. Do your side of being willing to forgive and have a heart that's open for change. But that's not the same as being a doormat. We also see in scripture three different places, and I'm sure there's more, but these are the three I brought out for today, where reconciliation was a no-go. Where did I write down my scripture reference? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, this is where the Apostle Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth that they need to drive the wicked abuser away from them. He was in the church, supposedly a believer, but he was committing all kinds of horrible things. There was lots of, you can go back, you can look up kind of the list of all the things that this guy was doing. And Paul was getting on to the church in Corinth and saying, why are you continuing to fellowship with this person? And I love how the Berean Bible even brings out the fact, when he was given the list of all the horrible things this guy was doing, that he even lists verbal abuser. You know, sometimes I think we don't let that one count. We think if someone is not being physically abusive, then we just have to stay. Especially in marriages, you see this mistaught so often. But here Paul is saying, turn him out and don't even eat with him. He's so horrible and so vile and evil. Don't even have fellowship to the point of eating a meal with this dude. And yet we tell people all the time to stay married to someone who is abusing them or their children. I just don't see that in scripture. Actually, I see the opposite. Don't even fellowship? Wow. Much less stay in a covenant with someone who is harming and destroying. So we see where reconciliation is not what Paul was saying here. Paul was saying, drive them out. It is obvious that their heart is nowhere near good. Violating all of God's laws, violating all the commandments. I don't care that he shows up in church every Sunday and looks the part and says the right things. Look at his life. Get him out. We see also in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, where Jesus is telling them to not cast their pearls before swine. That there are people, you know, pearls are things of great value. Pearls, to me, are tough lessons learned. Because a pearl can't even happen in an oyster if there was not a wound. It's a piece of sand that gets in and it irritates and it harms and hurts the oyster. But the oyster's response to that is to cover over it with a film, and layers of this film covers the sand. You know, it makes me think of the scripture that talks about how love covers over a multitude of sins. Gosh, those love pearls, they're costly. They cost you something. Because you chose to walk in love. You chose to continue to trust in Jesus in spite of the wounds. And he takes that and he creates a pearl from it. But Jesus is saying here, don't take those pearls. Don't take what is valuable and cast it before swine or dogs. And they're just going to stomp all over it. They're not going to see the value in it. You don't have to do that. And actually, I'm telling you, don't. I'm not even taking a neutral position on this. Like, well, you can if you want to, don't if you don't want to. I'm saying don't do it. Jesus was revolutionary. He was teaching people how to rightly relate to others. God is a very relational God, and we see Jesus modeling healthy relationship in front of the disciples over and over and over and over. And there were times that he was telling them who not to engage with. It's not the same as not forgiving, not the same as not showing love towards, but it's also not the same as staying under their foot. And then we also see in Matthew chapter 18, this is the model for when a brother in Christ, or let's say sister in Christ, a fellow believer, wrongs you in some way. And this is a personal offense that Matthew 18 is discussing. And there's protocol here for how to reconcile that. How to go to them first, just want you guys one-on-one, and share with them how they hurt you. You notice, again, Jesus is not modeling just ignore and walk away and pretend it didn't happen or just stay silent. No, go to them. This is how we grow in emotional maturity. This is how we grow and renew our minds. This is how we become healthy, strong people that we're called to be, is when we're willing to do the hard things, but do them in love, and both people get to walk away more mature and healthier. And so go to the person individually. If they won't listen, bring someone else to have a conversation. And if their heart is hard about this and they still won't hear, then wash your hands of them. Or I think actually after that, it says take them before the assembly and then wash your hands. I have to go back and look at that. Sometimes I get caught up in the details. So there's those three examples of when reconciliation was not what was taught. So why is reconciling not the same as forgiving? Because you're not saying it was okay. Or that it didn't happen. Or it didn't hurt. Or it even didn't deserve justice. If that's what forgiveness was or is, then reconciliation would just be automatic. But when we forgive, it's not the same as us saying it's okay. It's not the same as saying it didn't happen or that it didn't deserve justice. Or we're not even saying that that person is a safe person, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, all the things, that they may not be a safe person. But forgiveness is still a one-man job that you can do. And it separates you from what they did to you. In order for reconciliation to happen, there has to be two things in place. And there has to be safety and trust. Those are the two things before reconciliation is even possible. Let's say there is safety. Let's say that there is now trust. There's been some action shown that gives you reason to believe that there is room for trust here. Wonderful. That's amazing. I love when God gets right in the middle of these kind of situations and reconciliation is possible. We can reconcile with wisdom and we can start back at level one and work from there. I've often talked about the onion example here, especially in relationships. And that's basically just the balance of the level of access you give someone to your heart, your time, your emotions, all the things. The level of access and how it needs to be balanced with their level of responsibility and safety and trust. And from that point forward, you can move into deeper levels of reconciliation with the Lord guiding you, with His help. You know, there's people in my life that that we are reconciled after maybe a place where there had been some tension or some division or some harm done in some small way, whether small or big or whatever it is. And it's just not possible. Because remember, reconciliation is a two-person job and you don't have control over their part. So therefore, it's not realistic to assume that every single relationship in your life will automatically and always go back to the level that it was before, the level of connection and access to your heart. Because you can't control them, you can't control their choices, and neither should you try. God only gives you the fruit of self-control, not the fruit of others' control. And so there's some people in my life that were reconciled back to a healthy place, but my level of access is a little lower, and now it matches more the level of responsibility that they're showing. And I have a heart posture of openness, if that might ever grow. And I'm great if it does, but I'm okay if it doesn't. Sometimes it's meeting people on their own, on their level, so that you can achieve a healthy balance of relationship. It would become unhealthy if you gave them more responsibility responsibility, access, privilege in your life than they are ready to handle in a mature way. And so continuing just to match your level of access with their level of responsibility moving forward is something that you get to do with the Lord leading you and guiding you. You forgive because you want to be free and you want to obey what the Lord has commanded. So the debt's no longer held over them, but reconciliation is a two-man job that when it's possible is amazing, but it's not always possible. And that can still be just as amazing because you're loved no matter what. You're His no matter what. And if you find yourself having to let go of a relationship that you had held out hope that there would be reconciliation, let me just encourage you and remind you that God is the healer of the brokenhearted. He is the mender of the soul. He's the repairer of the breach. He's the rebuilder of what's been destroyed. And He can restore and bring wholeness to your life and will when you trust in Him and keep your focus on Him, regardless of what other people choose to do or not do or not be in your life. I hope this episode 1 of forgiveness has been a blessing to you. Or I shouldn't maybe say episode 1, but our first installment talking about forgiveness. And I look forward to you being here next week when we talk about what forgiveness is, now that we've talked about what it isn't. And then the third week on debunking some twisted scriptures when it comes to the topic of forgiveness. But until next time, thank you for joining me on the Laura Mayer podcast. I hope you join me again, where we will continue learning that being His means being free.